All right. We're here. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. I have Officer Ryan here. I call him Brother Ryan or Minister Ryan, but he is an officer. All you got to do is get out of order and you will find out. But he has a ministry here at the church, and it's a wonderful ministry. It's a men's ministry that get together by phone, right?
Right.
And you guys pray for each other.
We worship together.
If anybody has a phone, you're a man, and you want to be a part of SALT. What does SALT stand for?
Sanctified Ambassadors Living Truth.
Sanctified Ambassadors Living Truth. And this is what they chose as their symbols. We are the salt of the world. The salt of the earth. Well, in the Hebrew it says Melech HaOlam, salt of the world. So that is awesome t-shirt. Now they just got their own t-shirt. And we're going to have a salt meeting in my backyard now that I'm all ready to go. Amen. But I wanted everybody to see. And if you guys, if you're men out there and you think you need steady prayer, let us know. Get a hold of Officer Ryan or Minister Ryan. And I'm going to give him that back. I left mine at home.
Captain's doing a great job, Ryan.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's pray in, Ryan, and then we'll get started on tonight's message.
Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for the perfect blood that was shed for our sins. Father, you are a real God who requires relationship with us, Father. And we just come tonight to learn from your word, to hear from your spirit, to go forth and to do your will. We ask that you would speak through Pastor Sandy tonight. Lord, minister to each of us, no matter where we're at. Minister to us so that we too can go forth and be ready. Get others ready for when you come, Father, when you send your son for the bride. We thank you, Lord. All glory to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let me get all my books here, Pastor Ben, because I did not grab my Bible. And I have my notes, but I didn't grab my Bible. And here it is. So let's get started here. Praise the Lord. Linda's here. So, let me tell you about Karen and her husband, Paul. I love them. You know why? Because they're like, oh, we getting raptured? So they send me, they're sending out their Christmas stuff early. They sent me my birthday. I got my gold ring on from Karen. She sent me a gold ring with the Lord's Prayer on it. So I now got two rings with the Lord's Prayer on it. Amen. And so she's sending out everything early. Even all the Christmas and all the birthday stuff's being sent out early. So she sent us all. She sent me and Pastor Ben these beautiful ties. This one's for me, and this one's for Pastor Ben.
I love it.
And she sent us a Christmas bag to put them in, so I could say Merry Christmas, because we won't be here for Christmas. If you're here for Christmas, that's not good. Because we plan on leaving before Thanksgiving. And so, Thanksgiving in Shalom, Hong Kong. Thanksgiving in heaven. So, you hold on to those, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
Put them under the tree. And so, thank you, Karen, and thank you, Paul. Her husband is a wonderful guy, too. And,
Their family.
I know, everybody signed it. It's like awesome. So we can't read all that. It's a whole lot of message in here. But it almost looks like a Christmas card, don't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Joyfully yours. Hallelujah. So praise God for that. Now let's get into tonight's message. I think I had one more thing here. Yeah. This is from Rosa. This is the only one I got, you guys. And she sent me a happy birthday card. Thanks for being early. I think I might be here for my birthday, but if you're doing anything for Christmas, just give me mine when we get there.
Amen.
I don't need Christmas gifts. But if you want to send it early. Anyway, this is a happy birthday. I hope this reaches you in time. Thank you for saying that, because we are on short time. Love always, Rosa, Alex, and Isabella. And I talked to them on the phone too on one time. And I tried to call you back, Rosa, and then I no one answered. But I left a message, but hopefully we can talk soon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I need to talk a lot to a lot of our brothers, a couple of brothers that are going through, and sisters as well. And if, I don't know if they're watching, but just praying for everybody right now, and then I'll call some people back. I haven't forgot about you. I'm just a crazy busy guy. I will call you back. Okay, tonight's message is a doozy. Okay, and but you know what I've realized, you guys? Some people who don't study Hebrew, and now some people call me and they say, the way you explain it is so simple and so easy to understand. Then there are other people that have not studied Hebrew or had any interest in Hebrew, so they're a little confused, like, how is the eighth month the seventh month? And what month are you talking about? Are you talking about August? And I'm like, no, the Hebrew calendar. And so I want people to understand what I'm saying concerning God's reason for turning the calendars upside down. Because now the first month is Nisan. And in the month of Nisan, God fulfilled the prophecy of his first coming and his resurrection on the 17th. And then the eighth month is the prophecy of the rescue of the church from the earth and the whole Noah, the end times being just as it was in the times of Noah. And that's on the 17th of Heshvan. So next month in November, we have less than a month to be here. And so I'm excited, and I want to make sure that everybody understands what I'm saying, because people are, no one knows the day or the hour. I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour, because I do know that it's already tomorrow morning in Israel, right? So I don't know the day or the hour, but I'm telling you, Heshvan 17 will begin what we call the 3rd of November. It'll start in the evening in Israel. That'll be in the evening. And then till the evening of the 4th, it'll still be Heshvan 17. So Heshvan 17 kind of lasts for 2 days, because Israel goes, their day begins in the evening and it ends in the evening, which kind of splits our day in two. So you're not gonna know the day, but look for it at that time, because this is the most important day and time since Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. And when he resurrected from the grave, that was a great celebration for the whole earth. And that fulfilled one of the great prophecies of the book of Genesis. And the great prophecy of the book of Genesis was that a lamb was going to come, and the lamb was going to die on the 14th of Nisan, and a lamb was going to resurrect on the 14th of Nisan. That was the prophecy. And so as they came out of Egypt, how many years, 2,000 years, they waited for this prophecy to come true. And what was the prophecy? A lamb's going to come in the world and die for our sins. And he's going to resurrect on the 14th of Nisan. And so Israel still doesn't understand that. I don't understand that. Every year for 2,000 years, you go out on the 10th of Nisan. Now, see, some of you guys think that they stopped practicing Passover, but they were practicing Passover every year for 2,000 years. Every year they went out on the 10th of Nisan and got a lamb. And every year at twilight, they would kill the lamb. And so the lamb would be would be slaughtered at twilight on the 14th of Nisan every year for 2,000 years. Now a guy comes into the world and he says what? The Lamb of God. And he dies when? On the 14th of Nisan. While they're on the other side of the temple killing the lamb, of the Passover lamb in the temple, they're on the hill outside the city killing the Lamb of God right in front of the curtain. So it's like, how do you not link the two? But God said he put them on a blinder so that they can't see actually what is going on right now. I'm going to need my glasses, Pastor Ben. Let me grab those. Because we have some reading to do tonight. I hope you got your Bible studies tonight with you.
You can also get it on Facebook.
Okay, you can get it on Facebook. Just click on it and you'll see it. Pastor Ben has made it easy for everybody. So, and I think it's important that we study the Bible on Wednesday night. Now, what is it that people don't understand? Is that, would you agree that God is like incredible? I mean, think of us, we're human beings, right? All the cells and ability for our body to heal itself and be creative. Some of us become dancers, artists, scientists. We have these incredible brains, and it's just God made us so incredible that you think to yourself, how did God make us to have logic, to be creative, to become singers and dancers and all of these many talents that we have, and have great conversation? We're not animals.
Right.
We can sit and actually talk about some pretty deep things, right? So God made us, and for us to think that God made a Bible or wrote a book and it was going to be so simplistic, it would be like reading a children's story. And then if you believe the story, then you could believe in God. Or did God write a book based upon his letters? And his letters are also numbers. And he wrote a book that not only tells you what's going to happen in the future, it also sequences together. So it tells you all of the numbers match, all of the dates match. He tells you what's going to happen, and he tells you exactly what on what date is going to happen. All of this stuff is in the Bible, plus prophecy, plus words to heal you, plus encouragement. And you go, this is an incredible book. And I was just talking to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, reading this book is like you dive to the bottom of the ocean and you finally go, oh my God, it's so beautiful down here. And you're looking at all of the beauty in the ocean, and then you finally hit the bottom and you go, oh my God, this is incredible. Then you walk over 2 feet and you realize there's another hole and you can go another mile down. And so that's how the Bible is. You think you're at the bottom, and then you walk over and you go, oh my goodness, there's more. And you got to go further and deep. That's the Bible, okay? It has not let me down as far as there is so much to study and so much to learn about God. And God can make it simple enough for you to understand. I'm going to take us through understanding of the numerical values, okay? Because you don't know why God turning the calendar and making God the eighth month is so important. Because God made Heshvan the eighth month of the year. Some people don't know why that's important. It had to be the eighth month. Because God does everything in numerical values, you understand? And all of the numbers have to match. So for God to rescue the world and it be the end of the church cycle, it has to be in a month that brings conclusion, which is the eighth month. And it has to begin with a month that calls for a beginning, and that's Nisan, because it's the first month. So you got the beginning and you got the conclusion of the church. I'm telling you the end before the beginning, okay? And so I want us to go through some of the numbers so you understand how incredible God is, okay? Because he is to be celebrated, I'm telling you. This book, somebody is, I was studying, someone said, hey man, nice book you're reading. I guess it was another Christian. And I said, yeah, the author is incredible. He is like really good. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go, first of all, we're going to talk about four numbers tonight before we get to the fact that the rapture's coming. Okay? And keep me in my shoes so I don't jump out. We're going to talk about the number four, the number six, the number 10, and then we're going to get to the number 8, okay? Because if you don't understand that God wrote the Bible in a sequence of numbers, you won't understand why things are happening the way they are, okay? You won't understand why 1948 was so important if you don't understand numbers, okay? Because God is writing according to a numerical values, okay? So let's read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, Ve'yome Elohim, yechi ota ma'or. No, I'm going to say it in English. It says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the night, and let them be as a sign for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for a light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And so it was. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. What light is that?
Sun.
The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. What night is that? The moon. And then it says, and he made stars, okay? So now you have in the scripture, God is saying, now, let me finish reading this because you need to know this. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night. And he divided the light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. Vahi erev, vahi boker, Yom, the fourth day, okay? So it was evening. See how day starts in Israel? There was evening and there was morning, and that was the fourth day. Now, God created the sun, I'm okay, the moon, the stars on the fourth day. Okay. Do you guys know anything about the sun as far as its ability to give life to everything upon the earth? Do you guys know about that? Do you know if the world did not have the sun, everything would die? Do you know that? So there's nothing in this earth realm that can survive. Our bodies are made that it survives because the sun is there. It gives off a life substance to every human body and every plant and every animal. And if you take away the sun, everything dies. So that means God created the sun, and the sun provides life to every living thing on earth. Okay? Do you know what? I was studying physics, and it's like, what were you studying physics for, Pastor Sandy? I was studying physics because I wanted to know about quantum physics and all this stuff going on. But in studying physics, you know what it said? It said, the sun provides life to everything on earth except for things that are on the earth in a very hot place. So if you're in a volcano, the sun can't provide life to you. If you're in hell, the sun can't provide life to you. But it provides life to everything on earth. But if you're in a very hot place, the rays from the sun can't help you.
Wow.
So that's physics, right? And so God created the sun on the fourth day. Why would God create the sun? Why did he wait till the fourth day? This 3 days passed by. He's at morning and he's at evening and morning. 3 days have passed by and he hasn't even created the sun. So why did he create the sun in the fourth day? Because remember in the book of Exodus, you guys know about the book of Exodus chapter 12? In the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, what does he tell them? He says, this month is going to be the first month of the year for you. He tells them to go out and get a lamb on the 10th. But he says, kill the lamb on the 14th. So they get the lamb on the 10th. But when do they kill the lamb? On the 14th. So they have to wait 4 days before they can kill the lamb. So how long does God have to wait before he can kill his lamb?
4 days.
But what is a day unto God? A thousand years. So isn't it strange that Jesus doesn't come into the earth realm until the 4,000th year? Because he's going to be created when? On the fourth day. So God saying, wait a minute, if Jesus is going to provide life to everything on earth, I'm going to make the sun also on the fourth day, because on the fourth day, the sun is going to give life to everything on the earth. And so therefore, the real sun, the Son of God, comes into the world, but he can't come until the fourth day, because the fourth day is in line with creation of the sun, which gives life to everybody. So that's important for God, that Jesus not appear in the earth until the 4,000th year, because that's the fourth day for God. Okay? So he creates the sun on the fourth day in a kind of typology of the coming sun that's going to come in the fourth day. Amen. Now, let's talk about let's go to Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. You there? It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, they kept Moses hid for 3 whole months. And then what did they do after the 3 months? They made an ark for him, right? And they took him down to the Nile, and they pushed him out into the water. But that was on the 4th month. Who does Moses represent in the scriptures? Jesus Christ. So do you understand that Moses can't be pushed out into the world until the 4th month, because he's representing Jesus, and everything linked to Jesus has to be 4. So Moses is going to represent Jesus. How does Moses represent Jesus? Because Moses was pushed out into the water, or pushed out into the world, to go and save the people from slavery, right? Jesus, in the 4,000th year, on the fourth day, was pushed out into the world to deliver people from what? Slavery of sin. So the fours all have to line up. So therefore, when Moses is born, they couldn't send Moses out to Egypt in the 1st month. They have to wait 3 months and not let him, push him out until the 4th month, because the sun was created in the 4th day, and Jesus is not coming to the 4,000th year, and now Moses can't be pushed out to help Egypt until when? Until the 4th, because everything linked to Jesus has to be the number 4. You understand? And so God is writing the scriptures to let you know the 4 is the very important. Now, what does 4, what is the 4 in Hebrew? Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Delete. What's Delete? The door. Who says, I am the door? Jesus is the door. He's the door to life. So the 4th letter of the Hebrew is the door, which is Jesus. Everything linking to four is going to be Jesus. Okay, so now, let's look at this as well. Oh, let's go back to Genesis and read Genesis 49. Now, Genesis chapter 49. Now, I want to ask you a question. Leah has seven children. What's the fourth child's name? The fourth child born to Leah, what's his name? Judah. You know that? So the fourth child born to Leah, when Jacob and Leah got together, they had seven children. But the fourth child's name is Judah. What tribe is Jesus from? The tribe of Judah, right? So therefore, as she's having children, she can't have Judah first because Judah doesn't represent Christ. So Leah had her fourth child, and her fourth child is Judah. Hey, Sharon. So Judah is the tribe that's going to represent Jesus Christ. When he comes into the world, he is from the tribe of Judah, the fourth child or the fourth tribe that was born. Now, let's read the prophecy concerning Judah. Let's go to verse 8. Now, why would God put Judah at the 8th verse? Are you guys with me? Do you understand? Jesus' number in Greek is 888. So they put this in the 8th verse, and it's all about Judah, the fourth child born. Listen what it says. Judah, your brothers will praise you. What? He's telling the rest of the tribe of Israel, Judah, all your brothers are going to praise you. Is he talking about Judah? Or is he talking about the coming Judah? Watch this. It says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hands will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son will bow down to you. Wow. You are a lion cub. Say, you are a baby lion. Okay? Oh, Judah, you return from the prey, my son. Whose son? God's son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs. And the obedience of the nations is his. Whose? Judah or the lion? So the prophecy about the fourth son seems like they're talking about who? Jesus. All the nations are going to be under your control, and even your brothers are going to praise you. So, but why is Judah born the fourth son? Because it all links to what? The son has to be created on the fourth day. Why? Because we're talking about Jesus. The lamb can't be crucified until the fourth day. Why? Because we're talking about Jesus. Okay? Moses can't be released out until to help the people until the fourth month, because we're talking about Jesus' life. So all these scriptures are talking about a coming Jesus, but you look how, rather it's 4,000 months, or rather it's 4 days, or rather it's 4 months, it's all letting you know that the four is talking about Jesus, yeah. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask this question. How long was Israel in slavery before Moses went out to free them? Well, in mistreatment and slavery, 400 years. So they were in slavery, but after 400 years, they were freed from it, okay? Now, how long is it from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew? 400. So what? So Malachi ends And then they don't hear from a prophet again until 400 years later. So the book of Malachi ends the Old Testament and the book of Matthew starts the New Testament, but no prophet is heard in Israel until that 400 years are over. And then who comes? Jesus. Why? Because Moses didn't come till 400 years later as well, right? So everything about Jesus is this four, okay? It has to be on everything equaling out to four. Here, now, I want to talk to you about another important number, because I want you to understand all those fours is because God's trying to tell you something, okay? Because he wants you to know everything links. When I'm writing my book, everything links together, so you know it's me who's doing it, and you'll know why I'm doing it, okay? So now, let's talk about the number six. It says six, which is the Vav, is the letter of completion and redemption, okay? In the Hebrew, I didn't bring the book. In Hebrew knowledge, the letter Vav means I'm connecting you, okay? A matter of fact, in Hebrew, when you're saying the word and, you just use the letter Vav. So you say me and you, you just say, you use the letter Vav. Me, and then you say ve, ata, okay? Meaning and you, okay? So the Vav is the connecting of two things together, okay? Now, when Jesus is on the cross, they use the nails, right? And the nails, they use three nails, and those three nails connect Jesus to what? To the cross, okay? But by Jesus being connected to the cross and the Vav being a letter that represents the nail, that nail made you be able to be connected to God. Understand? So God made the Vav the connecting letter. Me and you. Me, ve, ata. Okay? So heaven and earth. Okay? Ve, haaretz. Okay? It's just the Vav. It is the numerical value of six. So understand that God is making six the number of salvation. Not just salvation, but the completion of a salvation cycle concerning the church. Because it begins on the cross, and where does it end? When he comes for his bride, okay? Now I'm gonna show you something that God does in the Bible. You see where that little colorful part on your notes are? Where it says Genesis chapter 2, verse 4? Now watch, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 2, 4. Look how it spells the word toledot, which means generation. See that Vav right there? See, it has two Vavs, one in the beginning and one right before the end. But now, in Genesis chapter 3, man sins. So now, God, the next time you see the word toledot, which means generations, in 5 verse 1, it says, these are the books of the generations of Adam, the toledot of Adam. But God took the Vav out. Why did he take the Vav out? Because man is now in sin. So he removed the Vav from the word generation, because man is now in sin. And so for the rest of the Bible, as you're reading it, 38 times you'll read the word generations, toledot, but it won't have the Vav in it, right? Means because you haven't been connected back to God yet. So the Vav is the connection to God and salvation. Now, 38 times this same word appears in the scripture, but you don't see it again until Ruth chapter 4, verse 18, which says, now these are the generations of Perez. Now, why don't you see it until the book of Ruth? Who married Ruth? Boaz is a representation of who? Jesus. He's the kinsman redeemer. So Boaz is representing Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ and Boaz marries Ruth. So now the connection has come together, and so now God puts the Vav back in because salvation plan is intact. You understand? So taking it out, and even if you're in the scripture, like say you had a vav in your name and you sin, God would take the vav out until you repent. And then people will read your name and they'll go, hey man, what happened to the vav that was in your name? And you go, I'm in sin. Will you repent so we can get your name straight again? Because God will take the vav out of your name until that's happened with Jacob. God would, when he was in sin, when he tricked his brother, God said, give me the vav. When you repent to your brother and you get things together, I'll put the vav back in. But God always takes the vav out. Now, this is the reason why in Hebrew, 120 is 672. But did I just say 120? What's the and? Vav. If I take out the vav, it's six. Now what do I have? 666. So now in the year 120, once I take out salvation, only thing you have left is 666. And that's what's about to come into the world. Because it's the 120th year. Salvation is about to leave and the people will be left with 666. You understand? Okay. Now, check this out. In Numbers chapter 35, verse 15, it says, these six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee. So God made six cities, which he called cities of refuge. Why do he make six? Because you're going to have salvation if you get to it. Because you got to get to a city of refuge if you accidentally killed somebody. Have anybody here accidentally killed somebody? Ever? Thank you for raising your hand, because all of us should have our... Do you have anybody here ever sinned? Sin killed Jesus. Did you do it on purpose? That means it's not murder, it's manslaughter, but you're guilty of manslaughter because you sinned. So God says the whole world is under the penalty of manslaughter. Therefore, you got six cities you got to get to because they're cities of refuge, and stay in the city. If you don't stay in the city and the kinsman and the avenger of blood comes and you're outside of the city, you can get killed. So God says, stay in Christ. Who's the city of refuge? Jesus. So therefore, there's six cities of refuge, because six is always going to be linked to what? Salvation. Okay? So God is writing the book according to numbers. And so he's telling you the story. Why can't you create the sun on the first day? Because I'm telling a story, but I'm telling you what's going on according to my numerical values, so that you understand I'm a God that writes the book in patterns. You understand? Okay.
Man.
I'm going to talk about one more. Okay. And well, before we get to eight, when the Hebrew people had to come out of Egypt, how many plagues were dispersed upon the people? How many plagues did Moses relinquish upon the people from God?
Ten.
Do you know all 10 of those plagues represent 10 gods of Egypt? So what God was doing was giving these plagues so that the people in Egypt would realize that their gods were not gods. And he was having these plagues upon them. But there were 10 gods that God had to make sure that they knew that what you thought was a god is not a god. Now, the last one that they thought was a god was what? No, a lamb. The last god was the ultimate god in Israel. Amon Ra, the lamb. So in Egypt, if you touched the lamb, you could go to prison. If they catch you doing anything with a lamb, it's like in India, you can't touch the cows, right? Because they're gods. Well, in Egypt, a lamb was a god. So what does God tell them to do before you come out of Egypt? Go and get a lamb and barbecue him. And now, what do you think all the Egyptian people were thinking at that time?
Going to jail.
They're like, these people have lost their minds. They're not even supposed to touch a lamb. They got the lamb. They just took them all to their homes. They're cutting them up and they're barbecuing them. They're taking the blood and they're putting it on the doorposts of their home. For 400 years, they know this has been against the law. And look at them now. And they use the blood of that lamb to put on the door of their home and the sacrifice of that lamb to prove to the Hebrew people, see, the lamb's not even a god. Here you are eating it. A matter of fact, they stole that idea from the star constellations. The lamb is going to be God in the future, but that'll be Christ.
Right.
Okay? So, 10 plagues to dispel their belief in 10 gods was sent out. So before the Hebrews could be freed, 10 gods had to be destroyed. Now, do you guys know who Haman was?
Oh yeah.
What did Haman try to do?
Kill all the Jews.
He tried to kill all the Jews. But God wanted to rescue the Jews from what Haman was trying to do. So Haman ends up dying. And how many sons does Haman have?
Yeah.
10. So now here comes the rescue of the Jews, and 10 of Haman's sons have to die. Hitler comes. Hitler dies. How many henchmen did he have that got hung?
Yeah.
10. So every time God rescues, there's 10 that have to die. Now watch this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. It said, the 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be the called, the chosen, and the faithful. So God is coming, Jesus is coming to destroy how many kings? 10. All of these 10 kings are serving under who? The beast, the Antichrist. But when he comes, he's going to destroy those 10. So why did God destroy 10 in Egypt? Because in the end, I'm going to have to destroy 10 kings. Why did God destroy Haman's 10 sons? To show you when I rescue that 10 are going to die. Why did God, you know, everything, God, you see the pattern? So everything's a pattern. Okay. So now we get to what we call the last of the prophecies that God is going to do to show you the pattern of what he does. Okay. Because, how do I even explain this? Here we go. So God gives us this number, okay? Now, I want you to know that 8 is the number of Jesus. We should know that, okay? The numerical value of Jesus is 888. Jesus resurrected out of the ground on Sunday morning, which means that for everybody who understands how the Jews count numbers, because if you read in Leviticus, it says celebrate for 7 days, and then on the 8th day, celebrate again. And all of us would go, what 8th day? But God considers that the next day, because you go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8th day, you're back at Sunday, right? So what day did Jesus Christ resurrect from the grave? The 8th day, which is actually the first day, but the first is last and the last is first. So on the 8th day, Jesus Christ resurrects from the grave. God created the heavens and the earth. Then on the 7th day, what did he do? He rests. Then on the 8th day, what did he do? He creates Adam out of the ground and puts him in the garden. When? On the 8th day. After the 1,000-year millennium, what's going to happen after the 1,000-year millennium? We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and God's going to be living among us. When? During the 8,000th year.
Yes.
So everything that refers to life is talking about 8. So why would God say to Abraham, on the eighth day, I want you to circumcise your son? Why? Is it, now we read last week, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, the spirit of the word of God is prophecy, okay? That means God is never going to just tell you to do something without it meaning something for the future. Why do I want you to circumcise your child on the eighth day? Because on the eighth day, all flesh has to be cut off. When is the eighth day coming? When the rapture takes place. So at the rapture, the eighth day, then on the eighth day, things have to be cut off. You understand? So our flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what has to happen to your flesh before you leave here? If you're alive, living, and walking, and the rapture happens, don't think I'm taking my flesh with me. No, your flesh has to be circumcised. Sorry, you can't come.
Right.
All right? So that's why he said do it on the eighth day, okay? You have to understand how important the eighth day is to God to understand why God would make the eighth month of the year the same month that he started the flood. And then Jesus say, in the end, it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. Well, what happened in the days of Noah? In the month of Heshvan, you know what Heshvan means? Heshvan means, it means like, check, please. It's time to leave.
Ah.
That's what Heshvan means. It's like, check, I'm out of here. So, I want you to understand something. The eighth month is Heshvan. Now it is. It wasn't before. God's like, make Heshvan the eighth day, the eighth month. Why? Because the flood started on the eighth, because the flood started on the 17th of Heshvan. And I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning, but I'm telling you that's going to be the end. What's going to be the end? The flood. The flood's going to be the end? Yes. There's going to be salvation for everybody who's on the ark. So who's on the ark? And who is the ark? Jesus Christ. He is the ark that is in the world. And he is the one who resurrected out of the ground when? Sunday morning on the eighth day. So resurrection, new bodies come when? In the eighth. Remember, you could be 4 months, 400, 4,000. But when he's talking about eighth, he's talking about this is the time it's going to happen. So the celebration of Noah being rescued because they're on the ark will happen now, not in the second month, because God made it the eighth month, so that in this time, because what year did God make the flood happen? You guys know? It had to be two different things. It had to be the 600th year, right? Noah was 600 years old. He was 480 when God gave him the commission to build it. 600 years old, and now the flood starts. But guess what else year it has to be? It has to be 120 years that God counts. That God counts. So now, I keep trying to tell people why this book is so important by J.R. Church. Because while this man was alive, every month I would get this magazine. Every year, the first magazine would say, will 2004 happen in 2004? And then they would wait. And then when it happened, they would publish it. 2004 happened in 2004. What happened in 2004? On the 26th of December, a flood came in Indonesia, and it was prophesied in verse 26 of Psalms. But Psalms had already said it was going to happen on the 26th in 2004, right? So God is counting every year from Psalms 1, 1901, 1902, 1903. And when you get to 2020, you're at the 120th year. Now, the flood can't happen until when? The 120th year. Why? Because God says it's going to be the same as it was in the days of Noah. Jesus says it's got to be the same as it was in the days of Noah. So God is waited till he counted off 120 years, and then what do we get? Corona. And now the children of God should be aware if we're studying the Bible, okay? And this is God's gift to me and to you, that he put all this stuff in my brain. And let me tell you, I am very humbled that God would even want to use me, but he's trying to warn the world. I'm making it clear to you. I've counted off 120 years. And now here comes the eighth month, Heshvan, the 17th, and it's less than a month away from you. And if you don't understand that this is a time to be alert and aware that God is coming, you've missed the understanding of Scripture that God is doing things in a timing and a numerical value. That's why it's the eighth month. Okay? Now, go to your notes and let's look at this. You see that het right there that's written? That's an ancient. That's how the Jews were writing it. This is what I do when I want to learn about the letters, the Hebrew letters. I don't go to Christians. Because you're going to get Christianese. Christianese. They're going, oh, that is okay, because Jesus. They're going to do that, right? But if you go to the Jews, they're going to tell you from their ancient history what this letter means, okay? So this is what the het means, okay? Okay, so this is how they wrote it. Now, see, it doesn't look like the modern day right here, right? That's a het in the modern day. This is the ancient het that they wrote right here. You notice this little thing they have up here? That is called a hato-aret. Hato-aret. And it serves as a hoopah, a canopy. It's because the Jews say the Vav is going to marry the Zion. What is the Vav numerical value? Six. Six is the number of who? Man. Seven is the number of who? God. So they say in the eighth, there's going to be a marriage between man and God in the eighth. So het becomes the eighth letter. So now, since het is the eighth letter, and het means what? Life. Okay. But this letter also means what? The gateway to heaven. This is supposed to be a door that is the gateway to heaven that God has made. I'm going to show you something right fast. In the ancient letters, they did like this. One, two, three. It was a wall. Okay? After Jesus Christ died, they did like this. We don't need this in the middle. It's not a wall anymore. It's a gateway.
Wow.
Now, these are Jewish people telling you that. They don't know why they took the wall away, but they know in head they took the wall away and put a canopy over it to say it's going to be a marriage day. It's not a wall anymore. It's a gateway to heaven.
Wow.
So the Jews know why they wrote their letters and what. So this is called a hat-to-taret. And this is called the canopy or the hoopah because the Vav is going to marry the Zion, the six is going to marry, or man is going to marry God. And this is the het, the gateway to heaven. And it's the eighth letter. Okay. I want us to go to Psalms 119. And as you look at your paper, we see what the numerical value for 119 is. And what does it mean? Sin covering. Now, what do we know about Psalms 119? It's 22 Hebrew alphabets, right? You've got, you don't have chapters. You have Aleph, you have Bet, you have Gamel, you have Delete. Okay, who says that I am the Aleph and the Tav? Well, in your Bible it says I'm the Alpha and Omega. But in Hebrew, he's going to say, I am the Aleph and the Tav, okay? I'm the beginning of the letters, and I'm the end of the letters. In Psalms 119, when you go to the first letter, how many verses does it have? 8. When you go to the second letter, how many verses does it have? 8. Third letter, how many verses does it have? 8. Do you think somebody's designing this? Why did God say that the number of the of 119, which stands for Hebrew, kosei, I can't say it right now, but the sin covering is the numerical value for 119. You know what the other Hebrew word for? It's a lot. Why don't I have my glasses on?
There you go.
That's why I couldn't read it. All right. Okay. Palet, which means what? Deliverance. So the sin covering and deliverance is 119 in Hebrew. So in Psalms 119, every Hebrew letter is there all the way, every 22 letter. Every letter is going to have 8 verses. Let's go to the 8th letter, which is Het, and read there. I'm getting to Psalms.
Oh, about 7 minutes
left. Oh, that's good. I got good time. We can finish tomorrow, right?
Yes,
sir. Okay, so I'm in Psalms, and I'm in 119. And do you guys see the letters? I'm going to get to the letter Het. And let's see what it says. It says, you are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statute. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks. For your righteous laws, I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. It sounds to me like the people that are gaining life have one thing in common. What's that? They obey the word of God. They're not just religious. Their heart is strong toward what? Obeying and living for God, okay? That is how you get what? Deliverance. Not because you believe there's a big guy in the sky, but because you have made your heart firm in saying, I will not sin against my God. Because I am telling you right now, Satan, until the game's over, Satan is still going to be throwing cheap shots. Okay? So you've got to be firm in your actions saying, I'm not going to fall for it. And if I happen to fall for it, because I'm, you know, we're not the smartest group of people in the world. We're not. We just, like God knows humans. He's like, I've been tricking them for 6,000 years. I know what they like, right? And so therefore, if he tries to trick you, and if he should get you, what do you know about this whole process and game that Satan don't understand?
Repentance.
You're like, aha, I can repent, you can't.
Okay.
that'll get him mad. Aha, watch this. Jesus, please forgive me for my sins and still bring me to heaven. Aha, you're not going back, but I am. Because we have to understand we have the power of repentance. But the people that are getting there have a heart to live for God, not to live in sin. That's the 8th. Now, let me finish up here. In in Matthew chapter 6, I mean chapter 17. Someone asked me this, and I had to explain it to them. It said, Matthew chapter 17, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to the high mountain by themselves. You ever read this in Matthew chapter 17? I'm going to go there real fast because I think this, because now watch this. This is what I want to explain to you. Now I'm going to read the same thing. Watch this. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. So did he do it after the 6th day or on the 8th day? Huh? Does it seem like the Bible is conflicting itself? Or now, why is God telling you there's a salvation that's going to take place on the 6th day? Oh, and by the way, there's a great salvation and victory that's going to take place on the 8th day. Okay? So what's going to happen on the 6th day? Rapture, resurrection, the church. That's the 6th day. What happens at the end of 8,000 years? New heaven, new earth. No more counting. Eternal life, God living amongst us. No need for sun or moon. So there's 2 victories for God. In the 6th, and what happens on the 6th? He's on the mountain, and all of a sudden he appears in his glory. And there standing with him is 2 people. Representing who? Moses and Elijah. Did Moses die? Yes. But there he is standing on the mountain with God. He's alive. So that means he's resurrected, right? Did Elijah die? No. So on the mountain is standing with him what? People who have died and people who have never died, but they're all in resurrected bodies. In the 8,000th year, when we have no need for accounting, there will be some people there who what? Who died, but they're alive. And there'll be some people there go, how did you die? And they'll go, I was coming out of Target. And then I came here. It's like, really? So you never died? Hey guys, get over here. One of them is here. Tell us, how was that day? Well, like I say, I was at Target. I was looking for a tie. Right? And then I found one and I said, praise the Lord. And then I was gone. Because that's how it happens, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So he put both days here to let you know that there's 2 victories with God. One on the 6th day and one in the 8th day. Okay. Now in Matthew, he says what? he says, now after the 6th day, okay, 2017 was the end of the sixth day. 2017 began the 6th day. That was the 6th day. So 6,000th year was 2017. And where are we at now? 2020. We're 3 years into the 6,000. We're on 6,003. That's early morning on the 6th day. Or if you go 2 years after Jesus, is early morning on the 2nd day. Mm-hmm. But one thing for absolute sure, there's 2 victories. Yes. There's people who died and are resurrected, and there's people who never died. But God has made it. Listen to me, you guys, because I want you to be warned. And I want the people of the world to be warned. Next month, when Heshvan comes on the 120th year in the month of Heshvan, and the book of Psalms has spoken to you once again, because the book of Psalms says, watch me prophesy 2020 for you. Watch this. Watch how it starts off. I've done all the other Psalms. Let me do this one too. What does Psalms 120 start off by saying? Father, deliver us from lies. I'm looking in Israel and everybody's walking around with masks on and they're busting in synagogues, and the rabbis are hiding under tallits trying to have prayer service, and the police are in there pulling them out saying you can't be in here praying because of the coronavirus. They're like, we don't have the coronavirus, we're just trying to pray to our God. Oh, sorry, a lie is going on right now, so you can't pray because you might infect each other. But Psalms 120 says what? First thing, Father, deliver us from lies. Football player the other day, I went in, they tested me. They said, I can't play. They said, well, what you going to do on your day off? I don't know, go for a run, go practice, throw some passes. Really? But I thought you had corona. They say I have it, but I don't have any symptoms, but... You know, they say you got it, you got it, right? So we're living on a serious worldwide lie. Talked to friends in Martinique the other day. What did they say in Martinique? Oh, we're here, you know, we're having church. Nobody's caught us yet, but you got to have a mask on wherever you go. So we're all prepared. In Martinique, in the French Caribbean, who cares what people are doing on an island? The Antichrist, he says worldwide control.
Yeah.
But here it is right in front of your face. Almost at the eighth month, in the 120th year, and people still not understanding that God is coming. And your hope can't be, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. Because they're not.
Yeah.
You're either leaving with the church or you're here in tribulation. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.